Let the church say amen.
Amen.
What a wonderful time it is to be here. And we thank God for this opportunity to come and speak a portion of his word. We thank your fine minister, Brother Stroud, my friend, and I appreciate him so much. And over the years, we've grown to know each other so much. I'm not a stranger to Highland Heights. It's been a number of years. And as you can see, my hair is a little thinner and it's not as black as what it was. There's some gray on the side and in the top. Time does roll on, don't it?
Amen.
I can see some of you grayed also. And if you're not gray, you might have put some color in it also. But that's all right. It's okay anyhow. I want to do something before I get started with my message this morning. I'm grateful to have my family with me this morning. My beautiful wife of 31 years. 31 years. My daughter, Sarah, her boyfriend, Akeem, and my son, Stephen. I'm going to ask them to stand. It's so good to have them with me on this morning. I don't travel by myself. I always have my crew with me. I thank God for them. I thank God for my wife. If you know anything about standing and delivering the word of God and being a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need a faithful, dependable wife. And I'm thankful I have that. And then truly she has enriched my life and blessed my life. And truly I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing if it wasn't for the grace of God, nor a strong woman being by my side.
Amen.
If you will, let's turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. Let's get started for this morning. John chapter 13. And as you are turning to John chapter 13, hold your finger on verse number 1. When I was going into the thought of teaching, and I took classes, I went in as an alternative teaching because I already had my degree, but I went back to get certified. And as they began to teach me about the art of teaching, they said that not all of your students learn in the same way. In other words, everybody don't learn the same way. Sometimes you have auditory learners. They learn by listening. Sometimes you have visual learners. They learn by sight. And then you have those that are kinesthetic. They have to actually be involved, up, moving, and doing, and they retain what they are taught. And so when you think about the art of teaching, there's no greater teacher than Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus is the master teacher, and I believe that he taught by telling his disciples to listen to them. But also I believe that he used sight, because I remember in Matthew 6 he said, consider the lilies of the valley. I can see him having them to think and visually see lilies in the valley, that they don't spin and they don't toil, and your heavenly Father takes care of them. I believe that Jesus was the master teacher because he not only taught by auditory and he not only taught by visual, but he also got in there and had them to show. He showed them exactly what he was trying to tell them. You see, sometimes, and let me see, anybody in here ever raised any children? Amen. Raise your hands. Now, some children are auditory learners. They learn by you simply telling them what to do. Go sit down, and they'll sit down. Some children are visual learners, and you have to show them a sign. In other words, Brother Stroud, you have to hold up that belt. If you don't sit down, this is what's going to happen to you. Then some children, y'all, they are not auditory learners. Some children, they're not visual learners. Some children, you got to lay hands on them. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. In John 13, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible reads, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Before I get deep into this lesson this morning, when we talk about servanthood, when we talk about the idea of serving people, Jesus came to serve and not to be served. And I believe that that is the prime example for all of us, not just a preacher, not just a teacher, but everybody that's a child of God. Everybody that's a child of God ought to be in service. Every child of God that's a member of the Lord's church ought to be a part of a ministry and ought to see where they can serve somebody else. Amen. Not just a few, but that ought to be all of us. Amen. Now, when we talk about the fact of what Jesus is dealing with, how can you serve if you don't have the right type of mindset? You see, in John 13, Jesus is nearing his earthly ministry. He is about to suffer the most painful death that anyone has ever suffered, and that is the death on the cross. And he is there with his disciples in the upper room. And as he is in the upper room, he is finishing up with the feast. He's finishing up and instituting the Lord's Supper. But at that particular point, you got to understand that he had all kinds of things on his mind. He understands what is before him, that the cross is before him. And yet he is sitting down to supper, and yet he is sitting with his disciples and knowing the faction that's in his disciples, that not all of them are with him. But yet and still he is going forth with the mission of his Father. And I came by to tell somebody that just because you got a lot going on at your house, just because you got a lot going on in your family, it does not excuse you from serving Almighty God. Jesus is the greatest example. Who had more going on in his life than Jesus at this time? He understands the mission that his Father has given him, that he's going to die on the cross. And yet, and still in verse number one, the Bible tells us, Brother Stroud, that love is there, and love for his disciples is what Jesus had, even with carrying out the mission on the cross. Amen. What I'm saying is this. If you're ever going to do something and serve in the Lord's church, it's not about being seen. It's about the Savior being seen. Amen. If I'm not correct, in John 12 and 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Jesus ought to be lifted up in whatever it is that we're doing. In our preaching, it's Jesus that we lift up. In our singing, it's Jesus that we lift up. Every day of your life, training your children and getting everything ready for your day, live your life in lifting up Jesus and stop promoting yourself. Amen. You see, it's not about you. It's not about me. The Savior understood the love that he had for his disciples. Even facing the extreme adversity, he was willing to go through with what the Father had commanded him to do, even under all kinds of pressure. Amen. Rather than looking for somebody else to do something, why don't you do it? Got real quiet, Brother Stroud. Rather than promoting and saying somebody else would be good at that, what are you good at? Rather than saying that somebody else ought to be fit for that, what are you fit for? When we understand that there is a job for all of us to do, when we understand that Jesus is facing even his closest friend not loving him like they should, it did not deter him from doing the mission that his Father had commanded him to do. Even when we have trouble at the house, we still need to serve God's house. Even when our job is not going right, we still need to serve God's house. Even when things don't seem like it ought to be, even in our own family, that's no excuse to not come and serve God and to be a servant in the Lord's church. Amen. You know, Brother Stroud, we teach our children that life isn't going to always be easy. There are going to be some difficult times in your life. But what I've studied in the Word of God It gives us strength to make it through those difficult days. Let me give you what I love as a formula for making it through any kinds of situation. Proverbs chapter 3 and the verses are number 5 through 7. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I came to tell Highland Heights today that is a formula for anything happening in your life. That is a formula for servanthood. It's a formula for your marriage. It's a formula for raising your children. Trust God with all your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. And for really for sake, stop taking advice from somebody who ain't raised their own children. When we understand that there is a formula, when we understand that the Word of God has everything that we need, Brother Stroud, I can even serve the people that I might not want to serve. Okay. let me help you with that. In verse 2, the Bible says that now the devil has entered into Judas Iscariot, who was the one that was going to betray Jesus. Now, when I say this, Jesus knows everything and nothing catches him by surprise. Amen. Jesus knew it would be one of the 12, and Jesus knew it would be Judas who would betray him. Later in another version, it says, he that dippeth in the dish with me is the same one. And remember, the disciples were saying, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? So in other words, he's eating supper with the one who's going to betray him, and still he loves him. Amen. Some of us can't talk to each other because somebody took your sparking place. Some of us won't serve in the church because somebody else had on the same outfit. Some of us won't serve in the church because something happened years ago and you ain't let go of it yet. Amen. And yet service is still needed, and you've been idle for 10 years and ain't done nothing. Jesus knows this man is going to betray him, and yet he loves him and all the rest of them until the end. Amen. He did not love Judas any less than he loved Peter. And what I'm saying about this is because he understood the personality of every last one of them, and he loved them all the same. Amen. And he served them all the same. Some of us only serve when we serve people that we like. We serve people in our family, and we don't go beyond our family members. We serve our circle, and we don't go beyond our circle. Jesus is there with 12 disciples who have different types of personality, but yet and still, he loves all of them. Two of them, Brother Stroud, being brothers, that came, and his mother had come to Jesus and said, get my sons one side and the other side in your kingdom. And yet they are trying to get a better position than the other disciples, and yet Jesus loves them just like he does everybody. He understands that what Peter is going to do, that Peter's saying, Lord, I love you, and those that betray you, Lord, I won't do that. Jesus already knows what he's going to do before he does it. And yet he loves him. And yet he serves him. You see, you won't see the extent of your growth until you start loving them that don't love you. Amen. You won't see the extent of your growth as a child of God until you start serving people that have attitudes. Amen. And serve them without getting an attitude. And realize the one that you're serving for is God.
and not be caught up in attitudes with people that don't reply like you think they ought to reply. Some of us don't serve because we expect certain things to happen, and when it don't happen, we lose our faith, and we don't act like we got in the sense that we need to serve in the Lord's church. Don't serve because you want a pat on the back. Don't serve because you want your name in the bulletin. Don't serve because you want your name at the front of the line. Don't serve because you want notoriety. Because if you're going to do like Jesus, and the last time I checked, 1 Peter 2 and 21, the example we are to follow is Jesus.
Amen.
He didn't go looking for a hype club. He didn't go looking for somebody to boost him up. He served the Father without looking for anyone to validate him, because he only was looking to please the Father. And when you are looking to please the Father, people's attitudes won't get on your nerves. Listen to me, Hallelujah. I'm coming down your street, in your neighborhood, and I'm parking in your driveway. Because if you're going to serve, you gotta serve with the right spirit and the right attitude. Don't be there serving. Don't put no food on my plate, throwing it on my plate. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
If you're going to serve, serve with the right spirit. If you're going to serve, serve with the right mindset. Because you can let your good be evil spoken of, and you can be serving and somebody watching you serving with a hateful mindset. And worse off, your children can be watching the same. And they'll pattern after you. And you'll wonder why they are not serving. Because you frustrate them by talking about how much you do and how much respect you get, and now they don't want to serve. So, it got real quiet this morning. Sometimes all the business that you talk about at home about the church don't need to be said in front of the children. Because there are some things that you can say that can hamper them and hinder them from wanting to serve Almighty God. John 13, beginning at verse number 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. I want you to focus on verse 3. When you know who you are and who it is that you're serving, it makes it a lot easier not to get caught up in the murkiness of servanthood. What am I saying when I say this? He knew where he came from. Where did he come from? From the Father. Where is he going? Back to the Father. While you are getting so caught up with stuff that's going on in this life that will stop you from serving God, remember all you are is a pilgrim in a strange land. You are not at your final destination. Heaven is where we want to be. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Heaven is where we're going. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Our citizenship is where, y'all? In heaven. And if our citizenship is in heaven, then what I gotta focus on is God in the morning, God when I get up, God when I go to work, God while I'm at work, and God while I'm serving folk that don't like to be served.
Amen.
I gotta have God on my mind. And Lord knows, y'all, I live in Texas City, y'all live in Houston. You sure enough better have God on your mind traveling around Houston.
Hmm.
With all the craziness in Houston,
amen, amen.
You bet. You watch out, and some of them letters might come out your mouth. I ain't talking about from the radio. I'm talking about them words you used to say long time ago, and don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. If you don't have God on your mind, we are subject to say and do anything anybody else will do. Amen. I got to have God on my mind. I got to know this world is not my home. My Father is in heaven. I'm headed to my Father. And the reason I know I'm headed to my Father is because the Son has already let us know. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house is many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? John 14, 1 through 6. Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when you understand that you are God's child and you are on your way to the Father's house, don't get caught up in this stuff that happens on this earth. Amen. All this is trivial. And all this stuff is going to go away. That's why Paul reminded the Roman church in Romans 8 and 18. He said, I reckon that the things that I'm going through, the things that I'm suffering right now, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that I have that is to come. So brothers and sisters, when you are looking to serve God, first of all, you got to know who you belong to. You belong to the Father. You are not working for Brother Stroud. You are not working for Highlands Heights Church of Christ. You are working for God. And when you put that in perspective, then when things go sideways, you got to understand your Father has everything already under control. I'm working for God. I come from God. I'm going back to God. Jesus is saying that I know where I'm going. I know who I belong to, and I'm headed back to the Father. Verse number 4, after he finished the supper, he rose from the supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel and he girded himself. We might see that and run right by it. After knowing where I came from, where I'm going, now I got to, Brother Stroud, if there's something that's hindering me, I got to get it out the way. You see, Jesus, the type of clothing that they wore flowed all the way down to the floor. And in order to move, and especially to move quickly, they would have to gird up their loin. They would have to raise it up and tie it off so that while they're walking, their path would not be hindered, and it would not be hindered from them moving from step to step or side to side, or if they had to move quickly. You see, some of us can't serve because we got too much going on in our lives. Amen. There's some stuff you got to put aside. And if I'm not mistaken, Brother Stroud, if any man follow me, let him first deny himself. Amen. Take up his cross and follow me. If any man love father or mother, sister, brother, more than me, he's not worthy to be my disciple. Amen. And whether y'all say amen or not, I know it's in the Bible. Amen. And I can stand on it and preach it all day long. If you are manipulated by your wife and your children and they come before God, you won't make a good servant of Almighty God. Amen.
God comes first. Amen. He is not second. He is not third, and he is not fourth. He comes first in all of our lives. He had to put some things aside. Then he had to take the necessary tools in order to perform the job that was at hand. He laid aside the things that were going to hinder him from moving. And then in order to wash the disciples' feet, he needed a towel. And Brother Stroud, when I preach, I need a towel.
because I can sweat in the middle of a snowstorm. And I got that from my daddy, Brother Tima. Know that he knew my dad real well. It's good to see Brother and Sister Tima, longtime members and soldiers of the cross. Amen. You see, he understood what was necessary. And brothers and sisters, what's necessary for us to serve the right way. And you can go and read all kinds of self-help books that you want. But if you're going to serve God the right way, you got to have the right manual. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. I need something that's sharper than any two-edged sword. I need something that's able to go down deep inside of me and get the junk that's inside of me. And guess what? It's inside of you also. Amen. We need the word of God as our manual if we're going to serve God the right way. You can't serve him on self-help stuff. You can't serve him on all this other stuff. You got to serve him on something that's precious and something that will never, ever fade away. It's got to be based on the word of God. When I have the right kind of equipment and I've girded myself, now I can go in and do the type of action that I needed to do to serve Almighty God. What is he doing? He's doing something that his disciples are not ready for him to do. And I want to say this before I go even further. Brother Stroud, he's doing something nobody asked him to do. He saw what was needed to be done because he knew the people he was working with. And then he took action to serve them rather than them asking him to serve them. How many times have you seen something? You know, you might even see a piece of paper in the auditorium and you say, well, you know what? We got a janitor. And you'll walk right by that paper. What's wrong with your hands? Amen. Stop saying, well, we pay somebody to do that. You see, I've been teaching 31 years, and there are people that will purposely walk by stuff that's in the hallway, and they'll say, that's why we pay janitors. Well, you ain't got the common decency that this ought to be your school as well? That when you pass by that and you see something on the floor that you don't pick it up and you can throw it in the trash can just like somebody else, just because somebody else is assigned to it, it don't mean you can't assist and help out in that thing being done. He didn't ask him, but yet he knew what was needed. Now, I want to say this. I want to clarify this. That doesn't mean that Brother Rose saying we could go and just do whatever it is we want to do. No, no. There's a right way to do anything.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
If there's a ministry leader over that, you got leadership in place. You just can't go up hanging up stuff and you didn't get the proper authority to do it. Amen, somebody. But sometimes we like to do whatever it is we want to do and don't want nobody to tell us nothing. But there's a right way to do everything. And when we come about doing stuff, even if it's something that's good, if you know that somebody is serving in that capacity, go to them, see what is necessary, and maybe offer your idea that will help that ministry be better, because if it helps a ministry, it helps Highland Heights. Amen. And before I move further, Brother Stroud, I want to drop this while I'm there before I move to verse, the latter part of chapter 13. Just because you've been serving in a ministry, it does not belong to you. Amen. Let me say that again. Just because you have been serving or heading or leading up a ministry for a number of years, it does not belong to you. The last time I checked, the head of the church, Colossians 1:18, is Jesus. And we belong to Jesus. And the last time I checked in Daniel 2:44, the church will stand forever. And so therefore, long after I'm gone, I can't hold on to something. What I need to do is get others prepared for the time when I won't be there. Amen.
So that the work will continue to go on. How many times in our congregations does a ministry go down because one person did everything in that ministry? And when that person became incapacitated, when that person got sick, or when that person passed away, that ministry was not effective because we didn't prepare someone to come along after him.
Amen. We got to do better, church.
Yes. We have to do better. We have to do better. Jesus or God even prepared Elisha. Elijah prepared Elisha. Moses prepared Joshua.
Yeah. Amen, somebody. Amen. So therefore, we cannot think that just because one person is doing, everybody sit back in Cadillac, one day that person won't be here.
I want to move further before I close this morning. He washed their feet. He wiped them in verse 5. He's saying that the structure of the sentence is that he continued to wipe them until he dried their feet. What do we get from that in ministry? Whatever you start, finish it.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Amen. Whatever you start, to the best of your ability, finish it. Because last time I checked Philippians 1 and 6, God will help you to complete something that you have started. But don't just be somebody with a great idea, but you don't want to work. You see, some of us think that we are only think tankers. We are only supposed to come up with great ideas. Then we enlist everybody else to serve. No, if you thought about it, get out there and serve.
Amen.
Don't just wait for somebody else to do it. If you thought about it, then that's a ministry that you ought to be involved in. Then you roll up your sleeves and get busy in that work. Jesus is doing this and showing them a great example. And Peter is now going and challenging Jesus and saying, I don't want you. Are you going to wash my feet? And then Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you ain't got no part with me. Then Peter said, not just my feet. Peter said, but my whole body. Verse number 11. He knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. And yet he's still serving, knowing that that's Judas. Look at verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye not what I have done unto you? He said, you call me master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now keep your shoes on. Don't you take your shoes off. My wife will tell me, don't you keep your shoes on? He's summing up the lesson. He's taught the lesson. And part of the lesson cycle we do, Brother Stroud, is we check for understanding.
Okay.
Did you get the gist of the lesson?
Yes.
Did you understand the information that was presented? Did you get the example that was used? And are you able to make application of what has been taught? You see, we don't just teach just to teach, to hear ourselves teach. This teaching, this sermon means nothing if you don't use it. It means absolutely nothing. And y'all know what I'm talking about. You got prescriptions at your house on the counter that you ain't even obeying them. Y'all grumbling, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you on blood pressure medicine, you don't take it right like you should.
You're on all kinds of medication, and you know how often the doctor said you ought to take it, and you get to feeling good, and you don't take it three times, you take it two times. Because you feel like you think you know better than the doctor. Well, the doctor went and got his degree and wrote to the pharmacist, and the pharmacist gave you the prescription, but it won't do you any good unless you follow it. And this Bible, this manual will not help us anymore unless we apply it.
Amen.
How many more sermons do we need to hear? How many more things do we need to be told? We know what's right, then do it.
Amen.
Amen. We've been in the church a long time. We've known scripture after scripture after scripture. And still just as mean as a snake.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We've been reading all this time, love your enemies. We've said, oh, I love the Lord. And just, we can't even say no two words to you. Unless you make application of this word, it won't do us any better than it did 20 years ago. The problem is not with the word. The power is still in the word, but do you have the will to obey it?
In this example, he's asking, do you see what I've done? He said, I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Some of us, we get what Jesus says, but Jesus was that kind of teacher. Brother Stroud, they say, in the teaching world, you got to get more rigor. And when you get more rigorous, you got to go past the ABCs. And you got to get into the deeper part of it that provides a deeper understanding. And Jesus is saying here in this particular part that I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you.
You see, Matthew 5 and verse 43 through verse number 48, he said, you have heard that it had been said just to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And do good unto them. Because then he went on to say, you are no better than anybody else. How can you prove that you are the Father's child if you can't love them that don't love you? If you can't serve them who got attitude but still love God and serve them with the right attitude.
It's challenging. It challenges your faith. It challenges your conviction. It challenges your very core, because what you want to say and what you want to do is give them attitude right back.
I know I ain't by myself. Don't sit there and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. People talk crazy. You want the main things you want to do is talk crazy right back to them. But when you realize who you belong to, and when you realize that his spirit, he has given us to guide us, that spirit will tell you, don't you say that. Don't you do that. Because when you say that and you do that, you look just like they look.
Amen.
What will help us? What will help us, Brother Stroud? Main thing that I can say is we're going to follow Jesus. We got to follow his example. Brother, are you reading? I'm going to wake you up. Philippians 2. He was taking a nap. He thought I was going to read all the scriptures. I got him. I threw him a curveball.
Big one.
Philippians 2. And I want to close with this and start at verse number 5. But before you start, to have the mind of Christ, we got to humble ourselves. We got to show more humility. If you're going to pattern yourself after Jesus, he was not high-minded.
If you're going to pattern yourself after Jesus and servanthood after Jesus and his example, he was not lifted up in pride, but he humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. And Paul says in Philippians 2:5, what does he say, brother?
Let this mind be in you.
Let this mind be in you.
Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Which was also in Christ Jesus. You got to have the right mindset just to give somebody a cup of cold water in his name. You got to have the right mindset. And when you do whatever it is you do, don't let be them type of people. I'm only going to serve God if I do big things. He said if you do giving a cup of cold water in his name is greater than doing something great and you taking all the glory. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Keep going.
Who being in the form of God.
Who being in the form of God.
Thought it not robbery.
Thought it not robbery.
To be equal with God.
To be equal with God.
But made himself of no reputation.
But made himself of no reputation.
And took upon him.
And took upon him.
The form of a servant.
The form of a boss.
The form of
the
a servant.
The form of a CEO.
The form of a
the
servant.
The form of a servant. Do we have any servants in here this morning?
Amen.
Do we have any people in here this morning who are not high-minded but willing to humble themselves and allow God to use them?
Amen.
Because until you humble yourself, God can't use you to his glory. Because if you are not allowing God to use you in an humble state of mind, you are doing it for your own glory. And whenever you do something for your glory and not God's glory, we're not going to do it to the best of our ability. Keep going, brother.
Okay, get back where we were.
I done preached in between that. I got him stagnated now. You stopped at about verse 7.
But made himself of no reputation.
Made himself of no reputation.
And took upon him the form of a servant.
Took upon him the form of a servant.
And was made in the likeness of man.
Made in the likeness of man.
And being found in fashion of a man.
Being found in fashion.
He humbled himself.
He humbled himself.
Obedient.
Unto obedience.
Unto death.
Even unto death.
Even the death of the cross.
Even the death of the cross.
Wherefore God.
Wherefore God.
Also hath highly exalted him.
Hold your finger right there, brother. When we humble ourselves, we lower ourselves. It's God that will exalt us.
Amen.
It's God that will lift us up. But when we are lifting ourselves up, we are taking God's place. But when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us. But Brother Stroud, he'll do it in due time.
Amen.
Due time is not on your time. And due time is not on my time. And boy, one of the greatest things to teach your children is about due time. Amen, somebody. Let them know that everything won't happen just like you think it ought to happen. It'll happen when God wants it to happen. And what you got to do is have faith and trust in God while he's working that thing out.
Amen.
If you trust him, you lower yourself, you bow yourself down, he will exalt you. And let me tell you this before the brother completes that passage. When God exalts you, the devil can't bring you down.
All right.
And none of the people he uses to try and discourage you. When God got something for you, it's for you.
Amen.
And the devil can't do nothing about it. When God is going to exalt you and give you what he has desired for you to have, the devil can't take it away from you. And none of his people that he gets into can take it away from you because God is all powerful.
Amen.
Keep going. What does it say?
And giving him a name.
Giveth him a name.
Which is above every name.
Which is above every name.
That at the name of Jesus.
That at the name of Jesus.
Every knee shall bow.
Every knee should bow.
Of things in heaven.
Of things in heaven.
And things in earth.
And things in earth.
And things under the earth.
Things under the earth.
And that every tongue.
And that every tongue.
Shall confess.
Shall confess.
That Jesus Christ
that
is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
To the glory of God the
to
Father.
To the glory. Who gets the glory?
God the Father.
God gets the glory. Whenever you do whatever it is you do it in serving the Lord, serving the church, God gets the glory. If somebody come to me this morning and said, Brother O, I really enjoyed that sermon. Do you know what I tell you? Just like I tell them in Texas City, to God
be the glory.
Be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Whatever it is you're able to do, Solomon told us, whatever we can do, do it with our might.
Amen.
Whatever you do is worth doing the best you can do. Because God gets the glory.
Amen.
We don't get the glory. The glory belongs to God.
Amen.
I'm so grateful that this lesson came about.
Amen.
We're servanthood and it's happening at the time when it's happening because he's on his way to the cross. On his way to the cross, he was still serving. On his way to the cross, he was still demonstrating love. On his way to the cross, he was still loving even though people were hating him. On his way to the cross, he was serving. He served until his very last breath. And I came by to tell you this morning, there is no retirement plan in the Church of Christ.
Amen.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. And you think that you worked in the Lord's church for so long and you're going to pass it on to somebody else and just sit down and do nothing. That ain't God's retirement plan. Amen, somebody. Let me tell you his retirement plan. In Revelation 14 and verse number 13. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, saith the Spirit, for they shall rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Amen, somebody. That's the retirement plan he has for us. But the retirement plan does not include us stopping before his time. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful. How long, church?
Until
death. So the very last breath of your body before you die, you'll be serving God.
Amen.
Bro, give me some, that sounds good, but give me some scripture. Acts 7. I want you to read that entire chapter. It's a man by the name of Stephen that was being stoned to death. And he cried out. He said, lay not this sin to their charge. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Even to his death, he was thinking about somebody else. The people that were stoning him. He said, do not lay this sin to their charge. In his dying hour, he was serving God.
Amen.
And that ought to be every last one of us, that until the day he takes me away from him, Lord, use me to your glory. Help me to help somebody else and that I can do whatever I can do because it's your glory that matters and not my own glory.
Amen.
God sent his son. Jesus knew the mission. And I'm so thankful that even though he knew the mission in the Garden of Gethsemane, while he was troubled and while he was heavy distressed, he had asked the disciples, Peter, James, and John, just watch while I go and pray. Just watch while I go and pray. But the Bible says that they were heavy with sleep. Because you know what will stop us from serving? He said that the spirit, come on somebody,
yeah,
is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, there are some things you want to do and you know you should do, but your flesh is battling you. Your flesh is saying, you know what they're going to say about you. Your flesh is saying, let somebody else do it. Your flesh is saying, if there's a better time, there's another time for this. Jesus said, I know that y'all want to do what's right. I know that you are my disciple. I asked the three of you to come with me in the Garden of Gethsemane while I pray, and I just asked you to watch. But he told him after the third time, Brother Stroud, just sleep on. He said, just sleep on, because you are fighting something that you're not capable of fighting. And I came by to tell you, until we are equipped with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in us, we won't be better servants than we are right now. That's why he told him, you got to be endued with the power from on high. You can't even go and preach the gospel until the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 1 and verse number 5. When that power comes upon you, then you can go and be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. But until you do that, I want y'all all speaking the same thing. And we can't speak the same thing if we don't use the Holy Spirit the right way. Amen. Jesus died on the cross. What a painful death that was. In your study time, I like to give assignments. Okay. Read the entire chapters of not just Isaiah 53, but read Isaiah 52 and then Isaiah 53. At the latter part of Isaiah 52, it will say that his visage was more marred than any. And what that's telling us is that, you remember Emmett Till? You remember when the mother chose not to have a closed casket, but she wanted the world to see what they did to her baby boy? That picture of Emmett Till does nothing to compare to what they made Jesus look like.
Amen.
His visage was more marred than any. He suffered so much for us while on that cross and still obeyed the Father's will. And one of the last things he said, Brother Stroud, he said, it is finished. In other words, anybody ever paid a house off and burned that note? Y'all know how happy you were? Because your debt had been what?
Paid.
Paid. And not just paid, paid in full. Because y'all know how some of us was back in the day. Anybody know anything about layaway? Okay, y'all act like y'all just had money. You went in and just throw money on the counter. Now, you know about layaway just like I did. Some of y'all know about having shoes in the grocery store at the end of the line and shoestring being tied up and you hunting through there to find your own size because the grocery store and the shoe market was in the same place.
Amen,
somebody. We all didn't have what we have right now. God has brought us a mighty long way. And we ought to thank God. God did so much for us and Jesus suffered so much for us that we ought to say, praise the Lord. What can I do for you, Lord? How can I be of service to you? Because you gave everything that you had.
Amen.
Even until your dying breath. And even that, y'all, with his enemies. Brother Stroud, he said, Father,
forgive them.
For they know not what they do. In your dying hour, that ought to be our mindset.
Yes.
I'm still serving God and giving him everything I can give him until my time is no more. How do you come to Jesus on today? Well, because of the facts of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, he died for our sins.
Amen.
He was taken down from that cross and buried in a borrowed tomb that belonged to a rich man that was already prophesied by the prophets of old that he would be buried with the rich and the poor in his death. He was there alongside of the sinners, the thief, the one on the right side and one on the left side. And Jesus was there, buried, taken down from their cross, but the grave would not hold him. Early that Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. He declared victory over that grave. He declared victory over death. He rose with all power in his hands. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he told them, go to all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mark 16, 15, and 16. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That is the way by which one must be saved on today. Hear that gospel. Believe that gospel. Repent of your sins. Confess that Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized in water for the remission of your sin. Acts 2:47. Praising God. Having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He's still adding to the church.
Amen.
Because the gospel is still being preached. And Paul said in Romans 1:16, the power of God is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we preach. That's what we live. And that's what we say to those that want to know about us. It's not me. It's the Jesus that I serve. Let me tell you about him. If you're ready for the gospel message and haven't put Christ on in baptism, if you're a member of the church and you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, repent of that sin, confess, and we'll pray with you and for you that you'll be forgiven. But if you haven't put Christ on in baptism, come right now while we stand and while we sing.
Amen.
Call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon.
Because